It's late in the week, and life can bring on tough stuff. Welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour, brought to you by your good friends at Family Solutions, one of the largest behavioral health agencies in the state of Louisiana. Today's show is brought to you by American National Insurance agent Derek Kennedy and Dax Wings and Grill, with support from Origin Bank, Portico, and the Dustin James team at Keller Williams. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Scott Zentner, Dr. Scott Shelby, and Dr. Bill Riddle.
Welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour, right here on KMLB 540, 105.7 FM and iHeartRadio. We're here to talk about mental health and wellness.
It's going to be a happy hour, you know.
It is the happy hour, the mental health happy hour.
That's right.
And so we have the Origin Bank text line, if you would like to text us a question.
Now, how does one do that, Scott?
You pull out your telephone, and then you enter this number.
Wait a minute. What's the number?
318-324-1500.
I know it now.
That's it. That's the Origin Bank text line. So
I love it. We love getting texts from our folks, listeners.
So go ahead and pull your phones out now and give us some questions.
That's right.
There you go. Well, hey, I'm Scott Shelby alongside Dr. Scott Zentner and Dr. Bill Riddle.
Good to see you, Scott.
Well, welcome to the show, Dr. Z.
Hey, good to be here. We're sharing mics today, so we're going to be bouncing this thing back and forth. And we've got a great guest today. So nice of her to join us. Susan McMillan, a new addition to our counseling staff at our West Monroe office. She's got a really neat background, doesn't she, guys? Tell us about her.
Yeah, she does have a very interesting background. She's had a previous career in law enforcement. She's going to talk a little bit about that and some of the roles she had as a trained negotiator and members of the crisis intervention team. And that's that CIT program that we were talking about before the show that we're going to talk a little bit about. Yeah, Susan just started with us in March of this year. We're really excited that she's going to be there adding to the resources in the West Monroe community. So welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here for Happy Hour.
It's always a fun hour here during the Happy Hour, for sure. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you decided to get started in the mental health field.
Well, that is a very interesting story, the way I got started in the mental health field. Kind of a personal story, a little self-disclosure. Back in 1992, my dad committed suicide, and I was 19 years old. That kind of began a downward spiral for me, and back in 1992, there wasn't really a whole lot out there that was readily available for help for processing those kind of events, and I was 19 and doing what 19-year-olds do and just kind of doing my own thing. Fast forward a few years, and I got into law enforcement. And I joined the CIT program, which is the critical incident team, and started going to some calls there, and then was a crisis negotiator for the police department. When I got to that level, when I was doing the CIT calls where we would go deal with people that were involved in mental health crises and go into the negotiations, I realized that afterwards there was a gap between police officers and us receiving help. We go and we see these calls and see heinous crimes every day, but we are not used to processing some of those events, and some of them really take a toll. Law enforcement officers in general, they have a higher rate of suicide, a higher rate of divorce, a higher rate of alcoholism, and a lot of different things. And there's not any resources out there to pick up and deal with those kind of things. So it was really a project of mine to work on promoting mental health and wellness within law enforcement.
That's an incredible that really is a I didn't know that police officers were among the most likely to commit suicide. Is that what you said?
I did. There is, I don't know the numbers for 2023, but there is actually more suicides within law enforcement than there are line of duty deaths, like shootings and car crashes and things like that. They are underreported.
Wow. Well, Susan, I know your work in that in the field and police work, in your background, and I know you guys have researched that. What are some of the common trends that would lead an officer to have that heightened amount of stress that would then lead to burnout and then even possible suicide?
You got to think about what police officers go through on a daily basis. They are dispatched to all kinds of calls every day, and they see domestic calls, they see violence, they see death, they see a critical incident that might occur. One thing might stick out to them, like a critical incident might stick out to them, like an officer-involved shooting or line of duty death. That might stick out to them, or it might be a cumulative situation where they've done policing for a long time, and finally the straw breaks the camel's back, so to speak, and they need to seek out help. And the trend has been that they're afraid to speak up because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble, or they're afraid that they're going to be sent for a fit for duty evaluation, or they're afraid to admit, hey, I have something wrong, I should just suck it up and keep going on. And so the trend is kind of changing in the younger generation, and they are wanting help with the younger generation, the younger officers. They're wanting to seek help, and they're kind of expecting something to be out there for them to help them through and process those things that they see and do.
Yeah, well, we have Susan McMillan, LPC, in West Monroe joining us today, talking a little bit about her experience working with police force here in our community over the years. You know, and I don't know much about the backgrounds of the stress and all those things that you talked about with officers and what they could go through on a daily basis, but they also have kind of a personality and an ego that says, I'm strong, I can take care of myself, and, you know, maybe reaching out to help could be seen as a sign of weakness rather than a really, really needed support to help you through some of those really challenging times.
Absolutely. There is a book called Bulletproof Spirit, and, you know, reaching out for help, we used to be told, suck it up, buttercup. And that, in today's society, really does not fly. But there's a saying in that book, and it says, emotional trauma isn't a weakness. It's an injury to the brain and spirit, to a person's ability to effectively process traumatic circumstances. And it's not a sign of weakness to seek help from a trusted coworker, a chaplain, a peer support team member, or a counseling service. It is a sign of courage, in fact, allowing yourself to hurt because you won't seek the help you may need, temporarily need, is a tragic sign of weakness.
Wow.
How many years were you in the force?
I was on the force. I started at the sheriff's office back in 1997, and I was on the force for 20 years.
I see. Okay.
And quickly before the break, what roles did you have on the force?
Oh, gosh. I've done it all. I started in dispatch. I went to patrol, street crimes, the crisis intervention team, hostage negotiations, detectives, and corrections.
Wow. You've done quite a bit and have probably seen quite a bit over the years.
Absolutely.
Guys, we're coming up on our first break, and we have our very special guest, Susan McMillan, a licensed professional counselor working in West Monroe. Y'all hang around. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Does your son or daughter have trouble focusing at school or even homework? It's not always ADD. Your child could benefit from occupational therapy. Call Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy at 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
An estimated 26% of Americans aged 18 and older suffer from a diagnosable yet treatable mental health disorder. That is one out of four Americans. Depression, anxiety, PTSD,
panic disorder, and social phobia. And one in five American teens. That's 20% of America's boys and girls. Sadly, many do not receive the help they need. There's good news. Here in Northeast Louisiana, there are many qualified, caring professionals who are here to help. Reach out today. It's perfectly okay. You're not alone. Help is near. Hi, I'm Derek Kennedy, a local insurance agent. With numbers like these, we all need to do our part to check in on our friends, family, church friends, and co-workers. Let's do this together.
The game's on. You're super hungry. Quick, what do? You don't have to make a choice. Why not come to Dex? The best food, great drinks, and every game you can imagine all over the walls. Come try our wings, po'boys, and burgers. Everything is homemade. Our chicken sandwich is the best in town, and you won't miss a minute of the action while you're eating.
Dax Wings and Grill, now with four locations in Monroe, Bossier City, Shreveport, and in Ruston, in the Graham Shopping Center.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy, brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
You were an entrepreneur before you knew what an entrepreneur was. The boss of every stuffed animal in the toy box. The kid who had strategy and passion from day one. You ran a lemonade stand that actually turned a profit. Every day, Origin helps people like you who've always had the vision to see the full potential of any idea and make it happen. Connecting people to their dreams is our passion. Every great relationship has an origin story. Start yours today.
Member FDIC.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and 540 AM. For questions and comments, send a message to the Origin Bank text line at 318-324-1500, and we'll respond in the following show. Now, back to the conversation.
All of you remember Paul Harvey, the great radio legend. Ever since I was a kid, I would listen to his show. I mean, literally in junior high. His radio show occurred every morning at noon, and then the rest of the story late in the afternoon. But I remember, Susan, that Paul Harvey has a well-known poem about the policeman. I don't think I'll read it all, but I would like to share a bit, if I may.
That's awesome.
And you can see it on YouTube, it looks like. So Paul Harvey wrote, "What is a policeman? He, of all men, is at once the most needed and the most wanted, a strangely nameless creature who is sir to his face and pig, or worse, behind his back. He must be such a diplomat that he can settle differences between individuals so that each one will think he won. But if a policeman is neat, he's conceited. If he's careless, he's a bum. If he's pleasant, he's a flirt. If he's not, he's a grouch. He must make instant decisions which would require months for a lawyer. But if he hurries, he's careless. If he's deliberate, he's lazy. He must be first to an accident, infallible with a diagnosis. He must be able to start breathing, stop bleeding, tie splints, and above all, be sure the victim goes home without a limp or expect to be sued. The police officer must know every gun, draw on the run, and hit where it doesn't hurt. He must be able to whip two men twice his size and half his age without damaging his uniform and without being brutal. If you hit him, he's a coward. If he hits you, he's a bully. A policeman must know everything and not tell. He must know where all the sin is and not partake. The policeman, from a single human hair, must be able to describe the crime, the weapon, the criminal, and tell you where the criminal is hiding. But if he catches the criminal, he's just lucky. If he doesn't, he's a dunce. If he gets promoted, he has political pull. And if he doesn't, he's a dullard. He must chase down bum leads to a dead end, stake out 10 nights to tag one witness who saw it happen but refuses to remember. The policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And, of course, he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
Susan, I saw as Dr. Riddle was reading that poem, you were nodding in agreement.
Absolutely. Every bit of that is correct.
Wow.
And, you know, one of the first things that went through my mind as you were reading that was being on a traffic stop one night, just, I hate to say the word routine because nothing's routine, mm-hmm. but being on a traffic stop one night and just a routine traffic stop, and this particular person said, "Why don't you go find a real criminal?" And I said, "What do they look like?" Hmm. And she was baffled that I would say that. But do you really know what one looks like?
And I don't know when that story, that poem was written. I've got to believe probably a few decades ago. And imagine how much the pressures have magnified with our police officers, who are really the guardians of our peace, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was thinking before in our first segment when you described the situations that officers find themselves in. It seems to be an unnatural feeling for any human being to constantly have to be on guard, to be vigilant, to have adrenaline coursing through their veins at all time. Obviously, there's some mental health impact from that. Long-term and certainly physical, hypertension, heart disease, even for the officers that make an effort to stay fit. It just, in many ways, seems like a thankless job, but yet we take our officers for granted out there. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for all your years of service and also what you're doing now and all police officers out there. And I'll be quite honest, I took them for granted, and it's only been in the last few years where I've made an effort when I see an officer to walk up to them and thank them for their service, and they seem to really appreciate it, as if it doesn't happen enough.
That means so much.
I thank them for everything, and while I've never had to call on an officer, I know many people who have, and you know it made the difference between a good outcome and a bad outcome, their intervention. So much of this, we're describing it, particularly in these huge cities, but, in smaller communities that are understaffed, a real combat zone, not unlike a war situation. But the difference is, as much as I respect our veterans, too, I certainly equally respect our police officers. But you are trained to identify the enemy and kill them is your first response. And that's not the first response with a police officer. You want to use every strategy and technique before employing a firearm. I'm curious, would you mind sharing some stories about your police work and when you were called in to defuse a crisis and what you learned over time, what you've read, what you've received in training? Most of all, I'm sure your experience. What types of strategies and techniques are really important when you walk in a situation that's very intense and frightening? And how do you manage those situations?
Right. They don't teach you that in the academy. They prepare you for, physical fitness and defensive tactics and things like that. They prepare you for all of that, but they don't prepare you for what's really out there in the real world until you're out there facing it. One thing that comes to mind is, because I was on the crisis intervention team, is they would always dispatch us first to a person in crisis. And I had a lady that I responded to one time that was suicidal. And I won't mention how she wanted to kill herself, but I ended up being the first responder that was the first one on scene. And she was sitting on the front steps of her house, and she had her friend sitting next to her. And I was able to get the friend away by calling him out to the street and just talking to her. Just all of a sudden, I'm not Officer McMillan. I'm Susan. Mm-hmm. And just really personalizing myself and these two ears on either side of my head instead of talking was all that she needed. Just to be heard and validated with everything that she was going through. Did I understand it? Probably not. But just to hear it and validate it made a huge difference. And that was one of the stories that I would say was a success in its ending. They don't all end that way, but we certainly try to get them to end successfully.
Yeah, that's a great story, Susan. I can only imagine. But 100% understand how using those two ears on either side of your face as an officer has helped to catapult you I haven't known you long. We're happy to have you as a new member of our team here at Family Solutions. But I would think that learning to listen as an officer is probably maybe a key ingredient to your success now as a counselor or therapist.
Absolutely. As a rookie, as they call police officers when you first start out, you know, you're busy running and gunning and want to catch the bad guy and put everybody in jail and write tickets. But that's not the reality of it. You have to find time to stop, slow down, and listen. People want to be heard. And that has played a tremendous part in me becoming a mental health counselor, is that, you know, police officers need to be heard as well after they respond to these incidents. There's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of things that go along with this, and they need somebody to talk to that can understand kind of where they've been and where they come from.
I've had the privilege of working with, I'll just say officers of many divisions, I guess. And the marital strife seems to be a common denominator with them. What wife or husband, what spouse of an officer wants to hear the spouse come in talking about all this stuff?
Right.
And I think even more interestingly is what officer wants to come home and talk to his spouse about what he or she has dealt with all day.
Well, I think something interesting that Susan mentioned is, you know, whenever they go through the academy, they have training, strength training, physical training, all those things. But after a long day of just not knowing what you're going to arrive to on any scene as a first responder, you know, and not having healthy ways to decompress and to allow you to process that in a healthy way, could lead to all those things that Susan was talking about earlier, you know, and just with stress and burnout and all those things. I can just see it magnifying in a position of a police officer and first responders, just because what they see is it could be very tragic. It could be just emotions tugging at you. You never know when you pull up to somebody for a traffic stop who's going to be there. And it's a dangerous job, and it's one where it just seems that the police officers are the ones that run into the danger when it seems like everybody else is running away. And I think there's something to be said for that, and a tremendous amount of respect for those group of officers who put their life on the line every day.
Perhaps, Susan, when we return, you could talk a bit about the idea I have is that the officer, he has to kind of turn his emotions off. At least this is what they've told me.
True.
And sometimes that doesn't work well when they become a little cold or quiet or maybe not very romantic sensitive. That's
yes.
The word I hear. He or she, they're not sensitive. So we might talk about that when you come back, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay.
Sounds good?
Yeah, well, y'all stick with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes on the Mental Health Happy Hour.
As As parents, we are so anxious for our kids to meet their next developmental milestone. Unfortunately, it's easy to compare growth skills with others. Questions? We have answers at Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy. Call 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
If you or someone you know is in emotional stress or having thoughts of suicide, please talk to a friend or a relative. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. That number again is 1-800-273-8255.
The game's on. You're super hungry. Quick, what do you do? You don't have to make a choice. Why not come to Dax? The best food, great drinks, and every game you can imagine all over the walls. Come try our wings, po'boys, and burgers. Everything is homemade. Our chicken sandwich is the best in town, and you won't miss a minute of the action while you're eating it.
Dax Wings and Grill. Now with four locations in Monroe, Bossier City, Shreveport, and in Ruston in the Graham Shopping Center.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy, brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
You were an entrepreneur before you knew what an entrepreneur was. The boss of every stuffed animal in the toy box. The kid who had strategy and passion from day one. You ran a lemonade stand that actually turned a profit. Every day, Origin helps people like you who've always had the vision to see the full potential of any idea and make it happen. Connecting people to their dreams is our passion. Every great relationship has an origin story. Start yours today.
Member FDIC.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and 540 AM. For questions and comments, send a message to the Origin Bank text line at 318-324-1500, and we'll respond in the following show. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour. I'm Scott Shelby alongside the great Dr. Scott Zentner and the so-so doctor, Bill Riddle.
Why do I put up with these guys? Seriously.
No, Dr. Bill is fantastic. And we're here with our very special guest, a licensed professional counselor practicing out of West Monroe, Louisiana, a former police officer, talking about her experience working as a police officer, the things that she has seen, experienced, and now is utilizing some of those techniques and skill set that she learned on the job in a new role, a new career as a as a counselor in West Monroe. So before the break, Susan, we were talking about officers and ways to manage stress and in healthy ways, and then sometimes, like all of us, we develop unhealthy habits that help us with stress as well. Can you talk a little bit about maybe what a typical officer might experience? And you know, you talked about work, but maybe more, you know, that home life and what you see and the work you do with individuals that are officers.
That is very disconnected when it comes to spouses. And, you know, I'm in a unique situation because I was a female police officer. And, you know, they're growing in numbers out there. But unless you're a police officer, you don't understand that police officer culture. And it's hard to break through to a police officer unless you are a police officer. I was not married to a police officer, but, you know, I had somebody that was very supportive and was able to hear some of the stories that I had to say. And it's important to remember that when you're talking to your spouse, you know, they want to be involved and know what's going on because they hear what happens on the news. They hear stories. They hear things on social media. And it's important to keep that communication open. But, you know, are they able to handle that? You know, do they want the Disney version of what happened, or that do they want the detailed version of what happened? You have to make that very clear and set boundaries with your spouse. If not, if there's no communication, that marriage is going to shut down, and eventually there's going to be divorce, there's going to be problems, and there's going to be other things that come out of that that are very dysfunctional.
Do you feel like as a when an officer joins the academy and starts work, do you feel like that's an immediate transition to what we're talking about here? Do you feel like that's something that could take some time to build up some barriers and resistance to processing some of the things that they're seeing and experience in the field?
Well, that's interesting that you asked that, and I hope that this answers your question, because when you apply to be a police officer, the hiring process itself is so extensive. You go through the physical fitness test, the psychological evaluation, the background check, and all of these things. You review board, you've got all of these things that you do that you have to do to get hired. And then as a police officer, you have to recertify and all of these things yearly to be up to standard, what we call post-standard. The only thing that is not checked in on or recertified yearly is the mental health part of it. They only do the fit for duty unless there's a problem that comes up. And so the mental health check-ins are super important to kind of impose on police officers, because as a rookie, you're still green behind the ears and you're still young, and people that get out here and see some of the things that happen right in their own neighborhoods, in their own backyards, they're kind of appalled at what happens, and it takes a toll and kind of surprises them at what goes on out here in the real world.
Yeah. You know, I find it confusing, you know, the way that you're talking about the stress and just the day-to-day work as an officer. You know, you have a lot of things that are looked at on an annual basis, and yet one of those that's maybe minimized or even overlooked is, you know, how are they, you know, mentally, spiritually, you know, and wow. So is that a time to encourage officers to at least have a check in from time to time with a professional to
absolutely. I think that sometimes that organizations, you know, do a disservice to some of them, because my own personal experience is I reached a breaking point and I reached out for help, and there was some confusion on how to handle that and where to go. And so the first thing that I experienced was getting sent home and sitting at home wondering if I'm fixing to lose my job because I need help, because I couldn't process some of the things that I had been through. And the next thing you know, I'm sitting in a psychiatrist's office doing a fit for duty evaluation, you know, and stressing out because I think I'm fixing to lose my job.
I've learned that's a hesitancy that the officers with whom I've worked, they don't mind the therapy as much, but when you start talking about medication or a particular diagnosis such as major depression, which is treatable,
mm-hmm.
and people with depression can get better, but they're very hesitant to get that diagnosis or that medication. They're afraid they may lose their gun. I don't know what you call it, the privileges with guns or something like that. I don't know. But I think that's just another, I don't know if it's a stigma, but just a hesitancy that I've noticed some officers have.
I would go so far as to call it a stigma, especially, you know, we police officers are paramilitary organizations, mm-hmm. and PTSD is prominent in military. PTSD is definitely prominent in law enforcement.
Speaking of PTSD, my friend, you and I share something in common in that we've both been trained in a particular type of therapy for those who have incurred, help me out, PTSD.
Traumatic events.
Yes, the traumatic events. It's my age. And that therapy is called?
EMDR.
Tell our radio listeners a little about EMDR, please.
Well, I'll tell you what I have been told it's called in the civilian world. They call it voodoo magic.
Right.
And I promise that I don't have a magic wand that I wave in front of somebody and do any kind of magic. But it's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And we take a certain event, a specific event that's kind of stuck in your brain that you can't really process, and use tools like a light bar, eye movement that goes back and forth, and process that event and replace it with a positive event.
A positive, true thought or event.
Right.
Yeah. And that eye movement is, it's, I know I always, people have always referred to it as hypnosis. And it's, if you think about the windshield wipers on your car, I just drove in from our Ruston clinic during a rainstorm. And so the left, right of the wipers, it's very monotonous and hypnotic, actually. And it seems a movement of one's fingers, or if, I think in your case, are watching a light bar left to right.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem to help the left side and the right side of the brain, which for some reason, as you said, have been jammed with this traumatic thought or incident. It does seem to help kind of, it's very amazing. I've never quite understood it, but I've seen how it works. It reminds me of getting the ketchup out of a bottle. You know, you had to hit the bottom of that old bottle until finally it comes out. And that's what I've seen, and I'm sure you have too. But let's hear more from you.
It's very intense, and you have to be willing to go there. You have to be ready to go there to those hard places and uncover those, you know, take off those Band-Aids and rip them off and go there in a supportive, safe environment. I like to call it, because I've actually had it done myself, I like to call it making peace with a traumatic event, because I had somebody describe it to me one time as they went through a session and they felt like they were really close to the event that happened. And after that session, they took one big step backwards and, you know, saw the event from a distance, mm-hmm. and it didn't bother them as much. They were still having problems, so they went in for another session. They had another session of EMDR, and it's like they took another step backwards. And so they were even further away from the event. So it's not like it's taken away the event, but having those EMDR sessions kind of made them see it from a distance and didn't hurt quite as much.
I think, interestingly, with the EMDR, in a certain number of sessions, sometimes as little as two or three, especially if it's a child who hasn't had a whole lifetime of bad incidences, EMDR can be very efficient as well as effective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of my favorite go-tos for first responders and working with first responders. You know, it's something that you have to be vulnerable to and be willing to try and trust the process.
Mm-hmm. I wonder also, Susan, even before treatment, when you're in the process of interviewing someone, a new client, may not even know anything about a history of trauma, but as you're observing the person, there might be some signs to indicate, I think there's been some sort of trauma in this person's life. What are some of the, how do you engage people to talk about a traumatic event if you suspect it, or just get them, maybe nobody's asked them before. We may run out of time to finish this and before our next break, but I remember going to a conference years ago, and I had the presenter was somebody who had a very tough childhood, had been physically and sexually abused by a number of relatives, and she didn't know what was wrong with herself. I think she was dissociating and had blocked a lot of this out, had had many mental health interventions, had been treated with various medications, and everybody said, "What's wrong with you?" instead of "What happened to you?"
Right.
And anyway, when we come back after this break, I'd like to hear a little bit more about how do you, if you suspect something, how do you engage them to get them talking?
Okay.
When no one else maybe has even tried. So we'll be back in just a few minutes for our final segment with Susan McMillan. Y'all stay with us, please. Thank you.
parent, are you concerned with the way your child pronounces certain words? Maybe reading and writing is a struggle? Getting help early is important. Call Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy today at 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
An estimated 26% of Americans aged 18 and older suffer from a diagnosable yet treatable mental health disorder. That is one out of four Americans. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, panic disorder, and social phobia. And one in five American teens. That's 20% of America's boys and girls. Sadly, many do not receive the help they need. There's good news. Here in Northeast Louisiana, there are many qualified, caring professionals who are here to help. Reach out today. It's perfectly okay. You're not alone. Help is near. Hi, I'm Derek Kennedy, a local insurance agent. With numbers like these, we all need to do our part to check in on our friends, family, church friends, and coworkers. Let's do this together.
The game's on. You're super hungry. Quick, what do? You don't have to make a choice. Why not come to Dex? The best food, great drinks, and every game you can imagine all over the walls. Come try our wings, po'boys, and burgers. Everything is homemade. Our chicken sandwich is the best in town, and you won't miss a minute of the action while you're eating.
Dax Wings and Grill, now with four locations in Monroe, Bossier City, Shreveport, and in Ruston, in the Graham Shopping Center.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy, brick-lined bar grill. The gang at Portico Bar Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
You were an entrepreneur before you knew what an entrepreneur was. The boss of every stuffed animal in the toy box. The kid who had strategy and passion from day one. You ran a lemonade stand that actually turned a profit. Every day, Origin helps people like you who've always had the vision to see the full potential of any idea and make it happen. Connecting people to their dreams is our passion. Every great relationship has an origin story. Start yours today.
Member FDIC. I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and 540 AM. For questions and comments, send a message to the Origin Bank text line at 318-324-1500. And we'll respond in the following show. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour. We are here with our very special guest, Susan McMillan, a licensed professional counselor in West Monroe, Louisiana, talking about her experience working as a police officer, first responder, a trained negotiator, and member of the crisis intervention team. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about EMDR and your work in with that type of approach. And if you could share a little bit about your experience with working with EMDR.
Okay. EMDR is, like I said, it's been referred to voodoo magic, and it's very effective. You have to be open to the process of wanting to do that and wanting to go there. It's not a one-stop shop. It may take once or twice to get there where you want to be, but it definitely lessens the stress of that event that happened that you can't really process. The one thing that comes to mind is working with kids who have been traumatized, in that most police officers will say that anything that they work with, any kind of call that they go on that involves a child, is probably the hardest call that they go on.
EMDR works for all ages, though, right?
Yes, EMDR works for all ages.
Yeah, and certainly not just officers. I know you and I have both worked with veterans who've, they I can think of a guy years ago I worked with who was in a department store, and a light bulb fluorescent popped or exploded or something. And he and his family hit the floor because it had taken him back to Vietnam or where the Gulf War. And he was an EMDR patient of mine years ago. So it's for anyone who's experienced, and it doesn't even have to really be traumatic. It can just be mentally traumatic, perhaps, like the negative thought implanted in their brain is, I'm a loser, I can't do anything right, I'm not worthy.
Right.
Somehow that thought takes root. And
yes.
EMDR, oddly, can turn, as you said earlier, that negative and untrue thought, I'm not worthy. And through EMDR, they can see pictures. It's like being on a train, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. They can begin to see pictures of their past in which they can suddenly remember something that they haven't thought about in many years, usually. And they begin to see, oh, my gosh, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. My dad did love me. Mm-hmm. I am worthy.
Yes.
Or I am lovable.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. And it works for all ages. It's not for everybody. But I think that's something that is a very good conversation to bring up with your therapist if they are EMDR trained or if they're interested in it, to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that, you know, being tough and being able to move on and, you know, just going through day-to-day life after experiencing a trauma could sometimes, on the outside, give the appearance of strength, but I know underneath there's a lot of difficulty managing such events that we're talking about here today. So I think if anybody out there is listening and has experienced a trauma and having difficulty managing that, you know, what we always like to say is, you know, never worry alone. You know, we have many trained professionals that can help get things back in balance, and there's a lot of techniques and approaches that can help if you find yourself in a situation following a traumatic event. So we have lots of highly trained professionals in our area. We also have Susan is in West Monroe at the West Monroe Family Solutions office, and they're at 1401 North 7th Street in West Monroe.
And Susan's been there so briefly. She doesn't know the phone number. Do you know it, Scott?
You know, I happen to know it. It's,
well, hit us up.
It's 318-503-8300.
8300. And they could talk to or look into booking an appointment with either Susan or your good friend.
Jessica Marchand. Yes. Jessica was a dispatcher back when I was on the streets, and she is I call her my little sister, so she's awesome to work with, too.
I love Jessica, and I think we're so blessed at our agency to have now two persons who have a heart for veterans, police officers, and their families, and who attend. Tell us about some seminars and things that you've recently attended, if you've got a minute.
Well, I have traveled the state doing what is called critical incident stress debriefings, which is CISD. And what that is a group process after a critical incident. And the participants have shared the same incident together, but it's not a tactical or operational or investigative debriefing. There's no notes or recording devices there. It's not a blame session. It's not a therapy session or any kind of substitution for treatment. But it is a way for you to process the emotions that you had surrounding that event. Beyond CISD, critical incident stress debriefing, I helped bring last year post-critical incident stress seminar to Louisiana, PCIS, and that is, the best way I can describe it, is a debriefing on steroids. It's 3 days worth of education, training, and some mental health treatment and peer support, and it is brought to you by the state police. And I've worked with them, helped do that. And the next one is in August. So if there's any information that you want in regards to CISD or PCIS, feel free to give us a call.
You know, Susan, I think what I'm getting out of this whole day or this whole hour that we've spent together is that to get into this field of law enforcement or any first responding type of role, military, you've got to be tough. You've got to have grit. But we're talking about how to stay tough.
Absolutely.
And just as a car with a high-performance engine can't be driven 100 miles an hour indefinitely, you have to take care of that car. You've got to maintain it. You got to check and make sure everything's working. You got to have some downtime. And being open to the idea of not being able to share some of this with someone else who understands, that's what gives you to me so much credibility. Is you've been there, you've been on the front lines, you've had the extra training, and I think this community is really lucky to have you as a resource, not just fellow law enforcement officers, but anybody who's undergone some sort of trauma in their lives. And speaking for myself, and I'm sure my colleagues here, we are so fortunate that we had the honor of having you on our show for this hour. Hope we can get you back.
We work hard to get good guests here, Z. We really do. And I think Susan's been a delightful one, and informative one, and a very professional one. I think our conversation might be beneficial to a lot of the listeners in our community. At least that's our hope, right?
I hope so. And it's been my honor to be here and talk to it. I feel, guided after everything that I've been through, that this is my mission from here on out to advocate for mental health and wellness for first responders.
I wanted, Scott, just quickly, thank you, Susan. I wanted to just say this to any of our listeners who are in the mental health profession. Tell them about our upcoming conference, please, at Bayou Point at ULM.
Oh, yeah. We have a very exciting list of presenters that are going to be at our conference. It's going to be the second week in May. Is that right, Bill?
Yeah, May 17 and 18.
Yeah, that's going to be a Wednesday and Thursday right here in ULM, Bayou Point. We have topics covering a lot of interesting mental health and counseling tips, trends.
That's right. In fact, Susan and Jessica will be presenting on ethics, as I recall. So topics on forgiveness and addictions, and some of our radio guests are going to be out there as well. So for any LPCs or MFTs, come out and support us.
Bruce Hennigan will be on.
That's right. Greg Greer.
Greg Greer.
And the man from Florida,
Dr. Brian Canfield, and he's been coming from Boca Raton, Florida,
that's right,
as our keynote speaker this year.
And all the way from London, our dear friend, Jana Sutton.
Jana Sutton.
And a whole lot of other guests. So that's May 17 and 18. It's the North Louisiana Counselor Education Conference, and Family Solutions is always pleased to present that for all professionals here in our area.
Well, we've had a great show talking with Susan McMillan, a licensed professional counselor in West Monroe, Louisiana. If you know anyone or have experienced a trauma in the past, don't reach out. Don't hesitate to reach out. Never worry alone. There's a lot of trained professionals in our area that can help. We'll talk to you next week right here on the Mental Health Happy Hour.